This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
I live right in the middle of the woods. This big thing was 75 feet away from me, smelled awful, devoured a whole deer carcass, and then took off and, like, screamed, screeched, and took off across the street. And I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm dead serious. There was something very big, bigger, a lot bigger than me, out here. How long ago did this happen? Immediately. I don't know if animal control, I mean, it is a very large, hairy animal of some kind.
Now, was it standing on two or four?
Well, I told you it was standing on two legs. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm serious. It ran off at breaking limbs and trees. And it kind of screeched, howled. A very creepy, scary thing. Because, like I said, I live in a tent. We're in the woods. And I just saw this freaky, scary, very large creature devour a deer and run off across the road.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is there any way that we can have an officer contact you?
Yeah, I guess it's this number.
Okay, and do you see signs of a dead deer, blood, whatever?
I'm not going to go check it out right at the moment.
Okay.
Is that okay? Like I said, I thought somebody should know there's a very large something big enough to eat a deer and as a
predator.
Are you seeing
someone there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did they see it too?
Yes, ma'am.
I lived in the woods for years. I swear to God, I've never seen nothing like this. This is bigger than me.
And it...
I'm 6 feet. It's bigger than me.
It's very large. He carried the carcass off. I mean...
Oh, he carried
like,
it.
With
okay.
Nothing like this.
But I know it picked up that deer and walked with 2 feet.
It's a very large something that smells bad and is bigger than we are. My husband's a very large... Nothing's ever scared him, and, we both saw it, so.
Okay. All right. We'll have an officer patrol that area.
Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange. The unconventional. The untechnological.
The untechnological. That's, boy, you said a lot there.
Yeah, that's me, the untechnological. I used to be a tech wizard, and now I'm lost.
Well, yeah, that was back when they invented the wheel, right?
That's right, yeah.
The wheel was considered high-tech at one point, wasn't it?
It was very high-tech, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now, I can hardly comprehend what high technology is.
So, anything exciting happen? I have a couple of things. Once you share what you've had, go on, if anything.
I haven't had anything. You know, I haven't seen any UFOs or Bigfoot or anything strange. I went to Seattle last weekend and attended a wedding anniversary, 50th wedding anniversary.
That's
party.
Strange. That 50 was, years?
Yeah, 50 years, and people from all walks of life were there, and they talked about their lives and how they kind of knew these people. And, you know, it's interesting how we're all kind of interrelated. And
Inbred.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun because people had different stories from different parts of the world, people that have traveled with these folks and done different things. So it was fun. It was interesting.
My wife, Mary, saw something the other day on her way to work, and this is probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this is on the highway, the Bigfoot Highway. She said, you know, it was too big to be a dog. It was running on all fours, but it didn't move like a bear. It wasn't a cougar. It was just strange. And then I pointed out that Sasquatch are known to run on all fours, whether or not they're trying to imitate another animal or they're just more comfortable. We just don't know enough to know why they do that, but they've been seen on numerous occasions running on all fours or just sitting there on all fours. And we'll check in with David Ellis and get his take on this because I know he's had reports of Sasquatch. And this was in the afternoon, and again, she almost thought it was a person, and then she's like, no, that's not definitely not a person, and it just happened so fast, and it just ran in the bushes. Now, I wasn't sure on this. I saw last night on the news they were covering a meteor and a big flash in the sky, and I wasn't sure if this was a new kind of meteor story or if they were going back to the March one.
Yeah, I saw the same story, and I think they were talking about the March incident, and the fact that, you know, meteors enter our atmosphere every day. You know, there's debris that comes in, rocks and things, and probably debris from, you know, the hundreds of satellites and spacecraft that are kind of floating around out there. But I think what they were talking about was people that are searching using technology, that word, technology, to find meteors. So they can use, like, ground-penetrating radar, they can use sonar, they can use a variety of new technologies to find meteors. And they say that the ocean floor is quite literally just littered with these meteors, these rocks from space.
Wow.
So they're out there looking for them. And I think that was the gist of the news article. They just brought up the one from March.
See, I thought they were trying to hide the big, giant asteroid hurling toward Earth that was going to make all of us meet our demise.
Well, maybe that's what they were doing, too.
You know, they were covering it up.
They were covering it.
Yeah. Because, you know, it starts out with one or two little meteors, and then all of a sudden, boom, here it comes. You watched Armageddon, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, anyway, that's all I really had.
I like those meteor movies, you know. There's one called Meteor, and then there's Armageddon, which is my favorite one.
Yeah.
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 You know, anything with Bruce Willis. And,
yeah.
And it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of movies about it. And sometimes movies mimic real life. And I think that there are big rocks and big things out there. In fact, you know, the one that happened in March, that came, landed about 18 miles from my house.
Mm.
And I saw the big flash, and it just rattled the house more than anything that I've ever experienced out there.
Yeah.
You know, my first thought was that it was a fishing boat that exploded.
Oh.
You know, because from my house I can see all the fishing boats that, you know, come out of the harbor, and I'm right at the mouth of the harbor there.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was it was a fishing boat exploding, or that maybe somebody set off some kind of bomb or something on the beach.
Mm.
You know, people shoot fireworks out there all the time. And so we have, you know, we have explosions and sounds, but I've never experienced one at that level.
When I felt it, I was home alone, and the dog, it freaked the dog out, the younger dog, the pit bull, and she just kind of freaked out. And I was just like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like if a big semi comes by or something, it kind of, you know, rattles the window, or if you get a sonic boom from a plane, you know, those top secret government planes that fly overhead with the chemtrails and stuff. One of those head scratchers. It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk about UFOs, we talk about chemtrails and Sasquatch and near-death, afterlife, ghosts, you name it, we talk it. And you remember the audio I played last week of David Ellis's recordings, and where he amplified it?
That was a great audio, yeah.
We have David Ellis with us today. David, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Could you explain that audio?
Been working with a witness in Alabama for quite some time, maybe 3-4 years, and they've sent me audio periodically that I've been able to review. This person is wants to keep private. I can say that it's from Alabama, but that's about as far as I can go. I review my audio visually, so in case you have new listeners, what that means is that I don't just listen to the sounds of an audio that's sent to me. I actually put it through software that gives me a visual of the audio, and it is way different than waveform. It gives you much, much more detail to the point where I can recognize sounds without even hearing them. I know what it is. So that allows me to filter through hundreds of hours of audio very quickly. I can review a 30-minute file in about 2 minutes. So an overnight recording I get done in 4 hours. And it may take me longer if there's actually activity, then I'll start to really slow down and pick things apart. But it was during this particular process of some audio that was sent to me from this witness in Alabama that I noticed that deep in the background there was a vocalization. I didn't hear it. So I went back and your ear and eyes start to work together. And because I knew about where I should be listening because of where the sound was resonating, I was able to hear a faint vocalization. And I believe I sent you both pre-edited, which is the original audio. And then another process I do is I have the ability to amplify the sounds that we want to hear and decrease the sounds that we don't want to hear without destroying the essence of the vocalization. Now, there is some artistic license, and as you know, there's a lot more than just enhancing it. You're an audiophile, but your audience isn't. So it's a definite difficult process. It have to do it in layers. You can't just do a hard manipulation of the audio. But this particular audio came out pretty well, I think.
So here's the before audio. And the after David Ellis gets his hands on it audio.
There's some sounds that are associated with Bigfoot that are pretty well known, and people in your audience are probably familiar with what a knock sounds like. So I've also sent you a knock sound. And then people are probably familiar with the whoop, which is a sound that's associated with Sasquatch.
And I'd like to point out that David has looped each sound 5 times.
We can't necessarily say that they're Sasquatch, but again, I compare the sounds to known sounds, and if I can't find a known sound in the Macaulay Library of Sound data bank, then it goes into my suspicious pile. And I use the Macaulay Library of Sound because it's a disinterested third party that documents by date, by person, location, a visual sighting of the vocalizer. So we know it's exactly what they say it is.
Now, I hear theories that the knocks could possibly not be the common taking a tree branch and hitting a trunk. Do you want to explain one of those unique theories of what's causing this sound?
Sure. That's a longstanding debate, and it stems from witnesses hearing the same knocking sound while the target is moving. So if they're hitting the same tree and making the same sound from the same location, one could theorize that it's the same sound. But on the contrary, if the said target is moving through the woods and you know it's moving by the sounds of the knock and you can hear the brush moving, but it's producing the same identical sound, to me that's kind of statistically impossible because you can't find the same particular tree create the same particular sound. So that leads us to ask the question, how are they doing that? I think I've even demonstrated it for you, but I have this methodology where I can clap my hands in front of my mouth and jet a very fast-moving pocket of air through my mouth and create a very loud popping sound that sounds eerily similar to what people think are wood knocks. Now, I've recorded sounds where I'm pretty sure that there are mouth pop because of the tonality. I can demonstrate that if you like.
Sure.
Okay, here goes. Now, did you hear two different tones?
Yes.
Okay, so that was me slapping my mouth and changing the position of my tongue to create two different sounds. I learned how to do that by listening to something that I recorded. I wondered, how the heck did they do that? Or who the heck is doing that and how? So I, you know, started playing around and was able to change the timbre, if you will, of my mouth pop. So that's on the table, as far as I'm concerned now, as a possibility of how these sounds are created. Now, I know a friend of mine that's able to do the same sort of sound by just clicking their tongue and creating a huge popping sound that I can't create. I don't have that ability or flexibility with my tongue to do it, but it's possible to do it without the use of the hand, too.
And what about, I was going to say, what about the hands, the hand pop?
And those can be done by hand clapping.
So we're talking with David Ellis of the Olympic Project and the audio that that he shared. Thanks for sharing this audio with us.
Yeah, you bet.
Do you have more coming down the line?
Yes, from numerous witnesses. So I'm getting things sent to me a lot these days.
You going to be out and about anytime soon? Where is the Olympic Project next? What are you guys doing?
Well, right now we're kind of on a hiatus. We're not really doing too much as far as we're not doing expeditions for the public. We're doing more stuff kind of behind the scenes. I personally haven't been out in the field this year, and it's mostly because of a new puppy. So I've been kind of tied down to the home here.
Yeah, you're raising another kid.
Yes. And you saw how big that kid is. It's hard to believe he's just a puppy. You know, at 130 pounds and not a year old, you would think.
Wow.
Oh, and did you hear me talking about what Mary saw?
I did. That was really interesting. What's interesting to me is that she thought it was too big, or that particular quality kind of ingrained to her. But, you know, your mind defaults to what you know, and so it's going to go to bear first. And then it was interesting that she also thought maybe there was some human-like qualities to it. So what would that be? You know, what was the subconscious picking up that that would lead her to make that kind of a comment?
Yeah, and when she told me this last night, you know, she was going, well, you know, first I thought it could have been this, and then I was like, no, and she was asking herself these questions. No,
right.
It couldn't be that. No, it couldn't be that. No, it's definitely not that, and it's not that. What is it?
So. Well, that's the way it works. Like I said, your mind sees what it wants to see. Your eyes take in the visual, but your mind interprets it. So you go to what you know.
Do you have anything, Bill? Questions or anything?
I have nothing.
You have
nothing? No.
my mind is blank today. No, this is fascinating because, you know, I listened to that piece that Johnny played last week.
Yes.
And when he first played it, I could hear that sound in the background, which was obviously different from the other sounds that were in wherever this came from. And then when he played the enhanced version that focused just on that sound, it was amazing. It was like nothing I've ever heard.
What was really fun for me was the little at the very end of the howl, I can hear the humanness in it, but it's not human, if that makes sense.
That was kind of what I thought. There was a human quality to it.
Yes,
but it wasn't human.
I don't think so. You know, and it's speculation because if Sasquatch hasn't proven to be real, but it's an interesting thing that goes way up high on the suspicious list for me.
Well, yeah, and they being a person who has no vocal cords and a very damaged larynx, you know, I understand how sounds are made and how human beings make sounds.
Oh.
And so that, you know, that the sound that was being made was being made by an advanced being.
Were we cutting out?
Yes, very badly. I just heard the last part that Billy said, advanced being, but I didn't hear anything between my last comment and that.
Okay. Bill, do you want to re-say that?
I don't remember what I said.
Where's the playback button?
No, it. What I was saying is being a person who has no vocal cords and has had to learn a new way to speak and make sounds, I'm always very aware of the type of sounds that human beings make.
Yes.
And the type of sounds that other beings or animals make. And the sounds that come, that I've heard anyway, that come from Bigfoot, or what we assume is a Bigfoot, are very advanced. They seem like advanced biology. They're advanced in a way that this is a creature that is maybe somewhere between human and animal.
Well, some of the recordings that I have seem to be mimicking, which would make sense, that they're in an environment, and I know that little children will try to learn how to mimic things that are around them. So why wouldn't these creatures learn how to mimic their surroundings?
Certainly.
Also pick up on new things, a new sound that they hear that they want to see if they can mimic that as well. Interestingly enough, there are accounts, and I have recordings of something in the woods trying to call dogs, trying to call people by their names, but it's short bursts. It's not long running sentences. There's lots of sounds that I have recorded that are like maybe three words, kind of tops, but they all seem to have very interesting and different signature. As you noted, Billy, that they're different. They may be using different vocal cords than what we have or do.
Yes.
There's also been some studies that show that Neanderthals may have had a higher pitched voice. And some of the recordings that I have seem to be of a higher pitched voice. So, you know, there's lots of clues of what we might be dealing with here.
Well, it's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. David Ellis, thanks for spending time with us today.
You bet. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome. We always appreciate your input. You have
it's always fun being here and sharing some of that.
You'll come back and talk with us?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Hey, this is Derek Randles with the Olympic Project, and you're listening to Strange Harbor.
The field of UFOs, it's not credible, but there is a lot of evidence out there. I mean, I just met with an FAA official that he had cockpit recordings and radar confirmation, visual confirmation, all, you know, synced with the radar of these things, and I consider that evidence.
Ken, if they're hiding it, why do you think the government is hiding it?
Well, I think we've had some of the reactions from the public that show that they are concerned about what this means, whether they are safe and whatnot. But I do think, though, that the fact that we have had so many witnesses come forward across every spectrum of peoples that it does show that folks are less afraid to come forward. We've had ranch owners, business owners, highly respected people in the community that have come forward and said, you know, we have seen these things in the past in this area, and we were afraid to come forward. And I think with responsible journalism like you have done, and no small part, people are less afraid to come forward, but fear, I guess, is the number one reason why this has been held back from the public.
I'm about the only person willing to get in front of a camera and talk about the UFOs that were flying overhead. There was three white dots, I'll show you, that were flying over a Breckenridge behind me late this morning. Looked as if they were hovering right over Baldy Mountain behind me. And while no one from the Breckenridge Police Department or Sheriff's Departments wanted to talk about the objects on camera, several people at those organizations saw them, and others around town reported the strange things flying over the skies of Breckenridge, sending police out to investigate these shiny, white, tiny dots in the sky. Some people off camera said they saw them form triangles and a line. On our camera, it seemed as if they didn't move at all. In fact, it took some help for most people to even see them. The FAA didn't have a comment on what these dots could be, nor had said they're not tracking any abnormalities at this time. But yesterday, a TV station in Utah reported very similar white dots appearing in the sky over Utah. The objects were visible for about 3 hours. They showed up best when the sun was reflecting off of them. Mark, we also called the Strategic Command as well, U.S. Strategic Command. They said they aren't tracking anything, but they typically track those objects that come in from outer space and then enter orbit. They believe whatever these were probably below their range of tracking.
And not drones, you don't think, Matt?
I don't think they were drones, and the folks that I talked to said they didn't look like weather balloons, because at times they would just sit there for 5 or 6 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes without moving an inch on our view screen in the camera, and then you would see a flash of light and they would take off across the edge of the mountain ridge behind me. So it didn't appear to be drones, it didn't appear to be weather balloons, truly unidentified flying objects in the skies over Breckenridge today.
Videotape of UFOs over Colorado. Three tapes shot by different people at different times in different places, but all look similar.
Do they show something mysterious or something mundane? Fox 31's Kim Posey asks that you decide for yourself.
What the hell is that?
Whatever this is, it's enough to get Don Baumgartner's attention.
Oh, get closer. Come and get me.
The 33-year-old shot this video in September outside his home in Deer Trail, Colorado, east of Denver. He says he woke up because his dogs were acting strangely, and there was a blue light coming through the window.
There it is again.
Baumgartner gave the video to investigators at the Colorado Mutual UFO Network.
It is clearly not an aircraft, a conventional aircraft of any kind.
Ethan Rich says he's intrigued. The pulsing ball of light seems to have a flattened top and bottom and an object inside.
It does display virtually every color of the spectrum as it's strobing.
Honorable Paul Hallier, former Minister of Defense of Canada, and he believes that life forms from space exist and are present on Earth. Why do you say that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying over our heads?
Well, because I know that they are. They've been, as a matter of fact, they've been visiting our planet for thousands of years. And one of the cases that would interest you most, if you give me 2 or 3 minutes to answer, is during the Cold War, 1961, there were about 50 UFOs in formation flying south from Russia to across Europe. And the Supreme Allied Commander was very concerned and about ready to press the panic button when they turned around and went back over the North Pole. So they decided to do an investigation, and they investigated for 3 years. And they decided that with absolute certainty that four different species, at least, had been visiting this planet for thousands of years. So that's we have a long history of UFOs, and of course, there's been a lot more activity in the last few decades since we invented the atomic bomb, and they're very concerned about that and the fact that we might use it again, and because the whole cosmos is a unity, and it affects not just us, but other people in the cosmos, they're very much afraid that we might be stupid enough to start using atomic weapons again, and this would be very bad for us and for them as well.
So no serious scientist has ever publicly confirmed evidence of an encounter with extraterrestrials. Why would scientists not confirm the facts if they exist?
I'm afraid they must go out of their way to, not to find out. Because if they did, you know, even 10% of the amount of research I've done in the last 8 years, they would be as convinced as I am. I mean, they could do it even faster. Might take them a little longer when they didn't have a military background. But there are so many wonderful books that tell these stories, and they've been authenticated. The sightings have been authenticated by more than one witness, and also by radar. And they have landed in various places around the world, including Russia. There's a famous case there. I can't remember the name of the place, but it was widely reported at the time. A man wrote a book about it, and then the French bought the book rights so that it wouldn't be circulated around. There's just so much evidence. If anybody will take the time off to do a little bit of research and study. But people just are, you know, some people are interested and will take the time, and the others just say, oh, you know, it's just fantasy. Mm-hmm. But since I've been public on this subject, I get, probably 3 or 4 emails a week from all over the world from people who have actually witnessed sightings. And some of them who have actually been on the ships, and some of them who have actually been transported to another planet. And so this information is not, you know, it is top secret in a way that the governments aren't talking about it. But if you listen to the whistleblowers and the people who have worked in the industry and who know what is going on, there is just a lot of information out there, and it doesn't take very long to get your hands on it.
Have you ever had your own encounter with aliens?
Not an encounter with aliens, no. I have seen a UFO about 120 miles north of Toronto over Lake Muskoka, where I have a cottage. And 2 years ago, last Canadian Thanksgiving, which is October, watched it until our necks almost broke for about 20 minutes. And it was definitely a UFO, because it could change position in the sky by 3 or 4 degrees in 3 or 4 seconds. And I checked out, no satellites that could do that. The space station wasn't going by, and it isn't able to move that fast anyway.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, ghosts, near-death, Sasquatch, all sorts of things. Gracie, do you have any strange stories you would like to share today?
Okay, there's a few. At 7th Street, my friend, when she was going to the bathroom, she heard a voice, the door closed, and there was a voice. It was like...
So it was like haunted? Like a ghost?
Yeah.
In the 7th Street Theater?
Yeah, 7th Street is haunted. We know that for sure, but
really? We
don't know where it is. Because it's really old. It's a really old place.
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody heard a voice in the bathroom.
And then it shut the door.
Wow.
That would freak me out.
Yeah, and if you've ever been in the 7th Street Theater, I mean, you can't imagine that it's not haunted.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that have gone on there. I did have something strange happen last night. Usually every night there's a baseball game. I record the games earlier, and then I watch them, like, late at night, because my wife doesn't like baseball, so... So we watch other things together that we like to watch together.
Mm-hmm.
And then after she goes to bed, I watch the ball game. I was probably, I don't know, halfway through the game, and I went to the kitchen to get a little snack, and I thought, gee, it's awfully dark in here. And I just had the kitchen light on and didn't have the living room lights on. I'm sitting there watching the game, and all of a sudden, the living room lights come on. They just flash on and stay on. They weren't real bright. I have a dimmer on there, but it was a little bit shocking to have those lights just come on like that. But, you know, it could be explained, I don't know how, but because I do have dimmers on there, it could be...
Alexa taking control of your house.
Yeah, it was Alexa, you know. But I thought it was very odd that the lights came on. And I also thought I saw a flash outside, but there was no... I don't think there was any lightning or thunderstorms last night. But it was very interesting. It made me think for a moment. But again, you know, I didn't overanalyze it. So.
Taking a look at our good friend Bill Puckett's UFOs Northwest website, the latest sightings, gosh, just a week ago, a silver object emits smoke and abruptly disappears. Bremerton. 20 soldiers see distant red light bounce back and forth. These are all just, you know, near us. Do you know where Seebeck, Washington is?
No. I know where it's at.
Huge, silent, bright, oval object moves slowly. Marysville, silent, boomerang-shaped metallic object with no lights. Now, could that have been one of those, what were those Ronald Reagan V-2 bombers, or, you know, the stealth bomber? Weren't those shaped like boomerangs?
There's one that was kind of like a boomerang. There are many iterations of those stealth planes. I think there was some that looked like a boomerang.
Octagon-shaped object with many rows of white lights. This is Pasco. Quick, bright stream of lights light up clouds. Star-like object with red tail disappears into night sky. Object runs square and octagon patterns around star. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that these kind of things are coming up because... just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I saw those red lights in the sky, which I assume were UFOs because I didn't hear any explanation about them. But, you know, if people are seeing these things more and more, it means that, you know, there's more and more things in the sky that we can't explain.
Stationary, bright, glowing red slow strobe of object. That was Auburn.
Well, and that's what we saw. Three of them.
Wow. Large stationary bright pulsating orange colored light. You know, and I wonder if all these things seem like nighttime sightings. Just as much, if not more, things happen in the day. We just don't see them because, you know, in the night sky, those things kind of stand out.
Sure.
Whereas in the day,
more.
We're not going to really pay attention.
And what I thought was interesting with the red lights is that red is a light that doesn't travel very far. It has a lower frequency, and so oftentimes, like in combat, we used to use red light to read maps,
mm-hmm.
because the light doesn't travel very far, and the enemy can't see it as well.
Mm.
And these lights were so bright. And obviously quite a ways away, way up in the sky. And for a red light to be seen that far away, it has to be pretty intense. So it's interesting. I'm a little skeptical sometimes of UFO sightings, and
yeah.
I think that people you know, they're taking drugs and drinking and they see things that may or may not be there. But when I saw that, I was perfectly sober, and it's the first time in my life that I've ever seen anything that I felt was so unusual as to be a UFO. I mean, I've seen other things in the sky. I've been a astronomy buff and used to have telescopes and things and look to the skies all the time. But when you see something that's obviously not normal, you know, it's not something that's normally there, it attracts your attention. You know, and probably most often it's an airplane. But when it's so unusual, if it's so un-airplane looking, it does make you wonder what it could be.
Switching gears to cryptozoology from the BFRO website and their sightings database. Get this. This is here in in Washington. A couple has possible ongoing activity, including their house trailer moved one night. Now, here's what they observed. We moved to the area in March of this year. About a week ago, I heard a loud vocalization, or I heard loud vocalizations. One, then a silence, and 2 minutes later, 5 to 7 in a row. The next night, my husband heard loud, what he said sounded like tree knocks. That same night, I was in our travel trailer, almost in bed, when I heard a voice outside the window. Nobody was around, and then the trailer started moving. No wind or anything organic to make it move. We live across the road from a clear-cut logging area, and there is woods all around. We live on a lake and have a creek running through the property. Wow.
That could very well be a Bigfoot habitat.
There have been so many reports of alleged Sasquatch slapping the side of a house or slapping the trailer or slapping the cabin and taking off or rocking it, moving it, shaking it, even as far back, if not farther than the Mount St. Helens miners incident. Was it Mount St. Helens? Yeah, where the Sasquatch were throwing big boulders at their shack.
Oh, yeah.
But can you imagine? You're in a little travel trailer and you hear voices in the middle of the woods, nobody's around, and then your trailer starts to move.
That'd scare the heck out of me.
I would be heading to the bathroom so I didn't poo my pants. That's what I'd be doing. A woman and her friend are visited by three creatures near ocean shores. Now, the exact location was removed by the investigator to protect the location, which is common. Here is what they observed. About 8 p.m., I was working in my garage. Something big brushed up against the outside garage door. It's really loud. Got my attention. I went upstairs to make sure no one was outside causing the noise. That night, about 3:30 a.m., my girlfriend told me she heard a strange box in the back of my pickup truck being opened and moved around. I got up, went to see. Didn't see anything around the truck, but did see reflections of three sets of eyes just in the front of the house about 50 feet. Two sets of eye reflections were lower. One set around 4 feet tall, the other about 6 feet tall. The third set of eyes stood at least 8 feet tall or higher.
Wow.
I did this because there was a tree next to them and some branches were present during the observation. I observed the reflections for about an hour. The next morning, my girlfriend and I walked out into the yard. We could see something disturb the dew that was in the grass. She found two huge tracks that appear to be barefoot. If you just observed, well, humans don't give off eye shine. Right?
Generally not, yeah.
4 foot tall, 6 foot tall, that could be just some tweakers in the bushes looking to rob your place, right?
Well, I suppose.
Or just people. That could be people. But then the 8 foot tall. I don't know any 8 foot tall people around ocean shores.
I don't know any 8 foot people at all. That's tall. That's big. You know, even a basketball player at 6 foot nine or, you know, even closer to 7 feet is a huge individual.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It's huge.
So 8 feet is way above that.
Scott Taylor, who's a good friend of ours, he was the investigator. This is what his follow-up was. I know this witness from a past report. She's not comfortable with Sasquatches hanging around, but yet she's intrigued by them. At the Sasquatch Summit, shameless plug, she mentioned that she thought Sasquatch were passing through her property located in the Ocean Shores area. She invited me to come visit, take a look around. On Saturday, we went over to her house. Her friend was there, too. I had met him while investigating another report a couple of months ago. He lives across the street from that location. They took us around the property, looking in particular the green belt wood line between her property and the neighbors behind her, and also the road behind their property. I was interested in looking at the places where Sasquatch could watch the people inside the house from the cover of the woods. We actually have some interesting areas around our house where you could observe us in the house, and there's just worn out areas where something was.
Yeah.
Whether it was an animal, a person, or whatever. Anyway, at one time they put out a trail camera and covered it with grass to hide it. Checking in a short time later, they found that the grass had been removed and tossed aside. There was nothing on the camera. There was no evidence of people making regular use of this patch of forest, no garbage or wrappers. I also noticed that next to the driveway, there was fresh river rocks placed as a landscaping decoration. I asked if the river rocks were ever moved around. They said that they had not noticed. We talked with them about the situation for a while and then left. Now, 2 weeks later, another investigator emailed to say that they were there were two more reports from Ocean Shores, and they were asking for me. I looked up those reports and recognized it was from the same person. Her friend had written the first report and signed her name to it. She was using her computer. There was no effort to mislead by them doing this. They're honest folks. There was also a second report, this one by her boyfriend. He was retracting the first report. He felt that based on what they saw, and there was not enough evidence, so he was trying to back out his report. Knowing both of them, I called them to talk to them, and I knew something must be happening there. Late in the evening, 2 days after this report was filed, they noticed that there were four creatures in the yard. She said that one was initially close to their back deck, which is on the second floor. It then moved away into the middle of the yard and squatted down. Then it moved on all fours to the southeast corner of their yard over at the wood line where the trail goes into the green belt. It stayed there watching the house. This one appeared to be an adult. The other three moved away from the house to over by the south side trees and away from the area lighted by the street light. There were two smaller ones and one adult, judging by height. They said that as they watched these creatures in the yard for most of the night, she could see a dim outline of the creatures in the dark, as well as the eye glow.
Pretty interesting.
So they saw them.
Yeah.
Visual. Class A sighting.
It makes sense that they would watch us. Because, I mean, have you ever seen heard a deer, and the first thing you want to do is stop and watch them. We have deer that come in behind our house, and we look out the windows and watch them, especially this time of year because all the little babies are out there, the little baby deer. And so we have a chance to look at them, and we do that. And I can't imagine that if Bigfoot is a relatively intelligent being, that it wouldn't want to observe what's happening in nature, including human beings.
So they're voyeurs.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you want to listen to back episodes, if you want to contact Bill and yell at him, or give me all your money, log on to strangeharbor.net.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.